Dancers have a lot to balance. From their pirouettes to their jumps, a dancer's performance is a direct result of hard work and motivation. So where does food fit into this? There's a lot of myths and a ton of antiquated ideals about what a dancer's diet should look like. And I'm here to dispel those. I'm Rachel Fine, registered dietitian nutritionist and founder of To The Point Nutrition. I'm the dance nutritionist, and I'm here to tell you that to be a successful dancer, you don't have to diet. Instead, I'll teach you how to use food as your best tool to enhance your performance. A nourishing meal plan not only fuels your dancing, but also enhances your strength, improves your balance, supports your flexibility, and most importantly, reduces your risk to injury.
Okay, yeah, well, thank you so much for being here. My name is Jessica McCann, and I'm a soloist ballerina with Pittsburgh Ballet Theater. And I've been a professional for about 10 years now. And I've been dancing since I was 4, so it's definitely been a lifelong mission and journey of mine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jess, I realize that we are like at about a year at coming to the year anniversary of your big surgery. You had a pretty big surgery last year.
I did. I had a total hip replacement of my right hip at the end of April last year. So I am coming on my 1 year anniversary of that pretty big moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Time flies.
It does, but it's also been slow moving, a lot of patience and a lot of sort of relearning about myself, which has been very healing and exciting and interesting and all of the emotions.
Absolutely. Actually, I want to zero in on this a little bit for today's chat, just because it fits really nicely with the theme that I've been working on my blog this week, which is returning to dance after a pretty significant injury or surgery.
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear your experience both in the short term after surgery, and we'll dive more specifically into this, but also, you know, where you're at a year from now. So let's like back up a little bit and think about where you were a year ago heading into this surgery. And, you know, what were some of the emotions? What was coming up for you at that time?
So I was definitely, well, when I was waiting for my surgery date, it did feel like I was kind of in limbo a little bit, you know, just sort of going to PT every week, I think 3 or 4 times a week, making sure that I was getting my body ready for that sort of invasive surgery, because my body and my muscles had just sort of seized around the area because it was trying to work so hard and compensate for the lack of space in my hip socket and everything. So I was doing a lot of PT work, making sure that I was healthy from my surgery so that my recovery time was faster. So once I had my surgery date, I was extremely excited. I was just nothing but ready to, I don't know, get it out of me and move on. And I had like nothing but like positive thoughts. I wasn't really concerned about it. I just was excited to be able to move again because it was quite painful. Yeah.
How long would you say prior to surgery you were dealing with the pain and the injury?
It was on and off for a few years. You know, you would get injection shots, trying to, you know, create space in the joint in different ways, trying to just prolong the need for surgery because the surgery is a pretty big deal. So it was on and off for several years until it got to the point, actually I debuted in Swan Queen and then it just drastically declined after that. I had used up all of my cartilage. There was no space left in the joint. And I had a bone cyst, bunch of really gnarly things in there. It was pretty bad. So it got to the point where I could hardly walk or take class, but I was doing Sugar Plum on stage, and it just felt like I was just not being smart anymore.
And I guess more and more it was your body telling you that, it's ready to take things to the next step in regards to figuring out what's going on and getting it, resolved, intervening.
Yeah, and it's so important to listen to what our bodies are saying. I feel like sometimes I almost feel like we're sort of trained to be like, oh, it's fine. I can work through it. I can work through it. I can work through it. And then 5 years later, you're like, wait, why am I injured? And then it's like, well, maybe because your body was trying to tell you something and you weren't listening to it. It's difficult. There's a fine line there between doing your job and then also making sure that you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah, and I do also agree with this fine line in regards to more of our younger dancers. At what point do we consider this, push towards progression, but then at the same time, when does it get to be too much? And when are we actually sacrificing the longevity of our careers? And I think a lot of one of the reasons I love having these conversations with my professional dancers is that we're hearing your experience, and what our younger dancers can start to be aware of earlier on in their dancing so that they, of course, can, if not, I mean, at the very least, alleviate any potential barriers to sacrificing their longevity in the studio. So, a year ago, you have surgery, and let's hear about the aftermath in regards to what were your priorities at the time, what was coming up for you from a mindset perspective as well.
I think I was in a really good space mentally of just understanding that it is such an invasive surgery and that I need to be loving to myself and patient and have no expectations in the beginning and to just listen and literally go day by day, how is it feeling? And even at the doctors, they recommend positive visualization and all of that stuff is incredibly helpful in the healing process. So I was doing a lot of that, not putting any pressure on myself at all to achieve any certain thing by a certain point. I would sort of look at it as a guide and be like, okay, so they're saying maybe I can start PT in 3 weeks. We'll see how I'm feeling at the 2 week mark. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. And I was walking without my crutches by day five, and the biggest thing that they told me to do was walking was the healthiest, best thing for the joint, especially when it's a brand new, just walk, constantly walk and move. And I had physical therapists come and do house checkups on me. I was very well taken care of, and so it also just allowed me to, I guess I gave in to the process and just accepted like this is fine because then at that point I knew that I had a good surgeon. I knew that it went well. Now my body just has to do its job. And our bodies are amazing things. It knows what to do. So you kind of just have to sit back and allow it to help you. And I think sometimes we get too much in our head of like, I have to get back. I have to, and that will just sort of be a hindrance to the healing process. So I tried really hard to not have any of those thoughts.
I love every testament that you're sharing right now in the work that I do from the nutrition perspective and just from food and fueling our bodies and this idea of reducing and eliminating the need to have to micromanage every aspect of in the work I do. It's oftentimes related to our health goals, even weight, body shape, whatever it might be in that realm. In what you and I are talking about right now, from a recovery standpoint, instead of necessarily micromanaging, trying to specifically hit these goals that might be outlined by a more arbitrary textbook definition, coming to terms with this idea of flexibility, which really hones into so much of what I do with food as well. And I love what you said, because I could not agree more in regard to our bodies are so smart. And unfortunately, we tend to bully them a bit, or want to, the best way I love to explain it is really want to micromanage our bodies and our food choices because of all of the external messages that we get on a day-to-day. When in reality, our bodies are incredible at communicating its needs. You know, even something as simple as a craving. I often tell dancers, cravings aren't bad.
No.
And battling cravings, it's clickbait, but it's not necessarily what we need to do. We need to actually listen to our bodies and start to come to terms with, like, okay, well, what's actually going on? Like, why am I craving so many, let's just say, carb-rich foods? There's a reason for it. It's likely because we're not getting enough of them elsewhere. So I love this testament in regard to your recovery process of coming to terms with having to listen to your own body's journey and path within the recovery space, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more also, like, with everything that you speak of and do with food.
Yeah.
It excites me. You know, I was looking at your page and I just think it's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to talk to you a little bit about this too in regard to where nutrition and did nutrition have a place within your early recovery process? And then, of course, didn't realize my computer was so loud. your early recovery post-op process, I worked clinically as a dietitian as well. So post-op surgical was one of the floors that I covered. So that's definitely an interesting point. But then also just in the long run, when you were home and when you were prioritizing PT and eventually when you get back into the studio. So I want to kind of hear about all of these stages and whether or not nutrition played a role for you in that process.
Yeah, I was definitely, I had to take iron pills because of all the blood that I lost and, you know, my body was really going through it. So I had to start taking iron supplements and then also finding more iron and minerals in the food that I was eating. I had to replenish my body with a ton of minerals, tons of protein, tons of fluids. So that's sort of what I was doing during my, like, the beginning stages of my recovery.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Focusing on those, the macronutrient and the nutrient standpoint, protein, omega-3s, getting foods up rich in these nutrients as well. I love the point about iron. I recently covered this on my blog, but it's not spoken enough with dancers, and it oftentimes can be an underlying reason, especially with blood loss, like monthly blood loss, menstruation, but also post-op with surgical procedures as well. So now, moving further out from your surgery, has nutrition played a role in your, you know, continued recovery?
Definitely. I've always, I love making my smoothies in the morning. I have my protein smoothie with all the good stuff in it every morning. And, you know, me and my husband like to make a big dinner every night. And then we usually eat that, the leftovers, for lunch in the afternoon the next day. And it's just, it's not like my nutrition or my food habits changed after my surgery. It just sort of went back to what it was. And I think that, you know, you find what works for you depending on how busy you are in the day. But I love food.
I love food.
We always go out to the, you know, newest restaurants and check it out. And but I mean, I didn't really do anything super special going back. I just had to make sure that, you know, I was hydrated, that I was having the right amount of protein, the minerals, just to make sure, because my body was still healing.
Yeah.
So to just make sure that it had what it needed was something that I had in the back of my head, but it wasn't something like I really obsessed over. because I didn't think that that would also be, I don't know, healthy for me mentally.
You raise a lot of really great points here. So the first being that getting everything in and it not being too different from how you lived beforehand, that's a true testament to how your relationship with food must have been, and it was a pretty supportive relationship, sustainable, right? Sustainability is a huge word when we're talking about our eating habits. And I don't mean from like a sustainable food perspective. That's a whole different topic. I mean from a, the way that I'm eating today, is this something that I can see myself doing for the long run? And that's so incredibly important because when dancers are struggling with time away from the studio, which whether it's holiday, whether it's injury recovery, it is one of the leading factors that could trigger a dancer to want to make drastic changes to their eating plan. You know what I mean? It's usually based in a fear of maybe losing muscle mass or changing body composition. And I can't stress this enough that most often what's going to result from that behavioral shift or that sudden behavioral shift, a lot of unsustainable habits, right? A lot of restrictive eating patterns. Not only is this not going to support our recovery, it's not going to, as you said, right, give your body the tools it needs to actually get through that recovery, but it's also going to set dancers up for restrictive eating behaviors in the long run. So it sounds like throughout your time post-op and after surgery, well, post-op, after surgery, recovery, it sounds like allowing your body to access the tools it needed from food was a priority for you, even without having to obsess over it or, think too deeply about it.
Yeah, definitely. And when you're sort of in the grind, I guess, or you're working 9 in the morning to 6 at night every day, Monday through Friday. That's what my company does. And those days are long. And coming back from something like an injury or anything, coming back from something big and you're out of the studio for a couple months and you start reintegrating yourself back into that environment. It was jarring for me, and I felt myself getting tired faster than I remember being. And that attributes to a lot of different things. I was having to use my brain more because I had to be super aware of what I was doing physically. I had to like focus on retraining and getting rid of some of the bad habits that my body had from trying to compensate from before the surgery, which I'm still working through now. It's a like muscle memory is a blessing and a curse sometimes.
It's like writing with your non-dominant hand. It's forcing you to have a very proactive, mindful approach in how you're moving your body.
Yeah, so I had to be like, oh, I need to make sure that, because sometimes I notice that if I'm tired or if I can't think straight, it's, and then I'm like, oh, I'm hungry. I need to, like, you build up an appetite sometimes just by thinking. So, yeah, and those long days where you're learning a lot of choreography, it was interesting going through that experience again, because I think the last time I went through that is when I was like in the pre-professional program and I was invited to be a part of company rehearsals. And so we would have all of our school classes and then we would stay with the company until 6. So it's incredibly long days, and the school starts at 8. So I remember that's when I was like, oh my gosh, okay, this is what it's like. That's when I started learning, like, how do I, what do I need for my body? How many snacks do I have to pack and to sustain myself through such a long day?
And such a huge word. You've said a couple of really key words in throughout this entire conversation. But the two, believe it or not, no, you did. The two that come to mind were proactive and mindful, because when we are A, busy, B, really having to put forth this huge effort, more of an effort than like what you said, right? Autopilot, it's a blessing and a curse, right? So now you've had to retrain your body an enormous amount of effort mentally and physically for you in the studio. in order to successfully navigate that, you had to also be proactive in how you were fueling your body just to make sure that you had enough on hand. I cannot tell you how many dancers that I work with that just underfuel unintentionally. A lot of the work, just because of what I do on Instagram, it can come across as only disordered eating from a perspective of intentional disordered eating, but it's not always intentional. Actually, more often than not, it's unintentional for a lot of dancers. And implementing that more proactive approach is paramount to how you are going to support your recovery and support yourself as you're coming back to the studio.
Definitely. And recovery is a huge thing because, after that, it's like, I mean, there's so many things out there that you can have. And there's like, there's like the protein powder, there's like the post-workout, and then that recovery work, special minerals you can put in your water to just like help you in between the moments of the meals and that. And I think recovery is one of the biggest things because it also prepares you to be your best the next day.
Absolutely. So you've provided such insightful information for us today. I would love to hear, it's a general question. I ask it to all my guests, and I'd love to hear your answer for it. But how would you, at this point, at this stage in your career, redefine what it means to be the healthy dancer?
Wow, that's yeah, wow. I think to be a healthy dancer is to be so mentally and physically aware of just your surroundings, what you're doing with your body, your thoughts, for them to not be negative or self-destructive. And to just give yourself grace and love and don't compare, don't play the game of comparing. And I think that's how you can be a healthy dancer today, is to just love and focus on yourself in a positive, nurturing way, not in a selfish, I mean, it's like there's a different aspect of that, but to just be gracious, graceful in failure and in success, and to just make sure that you're always supporting everyone around you, even if you feel like you're not getting it back. It's like you just focus on yourself and keep, checking in and just be healthy in that way. Because I think the mental game, right, in ballet is huge and not talked about enough. And it's something that I have seen a lot of dear friends younger than me have, it just took them down and they couldn't be in the environment anymore. And I think it's just opened my eyes to so many ways on how I can continue to be healthy in this career as I like age and, gain more experience through everything.
Absolutely. And I love one of those other keywords that you had mentioned was compassion, having a compassionate approach throughout the entire recovery process, just being compassionate for your body and the potential that your recovery might not necessarily look like the textbook recovery that you might read online or wherever you might get that. So I think that was a really important point as well. And that not being translated to being selfish, but rather just caring for yourself in a more compassionate way, which will allow you to make space for what you need, which is time and patience for recovery. So, Jessica, thank you so much. This was such a pleasure chatting with you today. You've shared beautiful insight for us, and I look forward to connecting more.
Oh, thank you so much. This was just such a pleasure, and I really appreciate this. So, thank you.
Likewise, we'll be in touch, okay?
Okay.
Have a good
Bye.
day. Bye,
You too.
everybody.